All right, welcome back to the Windows Intune Jumpstart for IT Professionals. And next up right now is Module 3, Extending Your Identity to Windows Azure Active Directory. There is a lot of confusion around this from a lot of different people. And so hopefully after this module is done, you can be a little more clear on all of the different options of synchronizing your AD and what all of that means. So let's go to the next slide. That just shows you where we're at in the day, the third module. And this is the overall flow that we're going to go through. First off, we're going to clarify what is Windows Azure Active Directory. We've had some naming changes, and that is the first point of foundation to clarify. After that, we'll go into the different management options for your identity. And followed by that, we'll give you some how-to, some practical, if you want to do any one of those three identity management options, how do you get it done? So with that, let's start with what is Windows Active Directory and Windows Azure. So first off, we have this cloud service that we started quite some time ago, right? And we wanted the cloud service to be able to be utilized independent, right, of whether you have any on-premise Active Directory or not. So the question is, if the user wants to sign in, and I'm just drawing with my finger here, how does that user sign in? Well, with that in mind, we created Windows Azure Active Directory. Now, you may ask, well, why didn't we just take the on-premise Active Directory and just stick that exactly in the cloud? Well, there were quite a few reasons why we re-architected things. Because when Active Directory was designed initially, it was not designed for the types of capabilities in the cloud, scale, and the types of things that need to be done. So we had to come up with a similar concept. Now, keep in mind, we did use a lot of the same knowledge that we had with Active Directory, but it is a totally separate directory that's designed for cloud operations. So that's what Windows Azure Active Directory will do, is allow you to that user to synchronize and authenticate solely in the cloud. But like most of you know, you probably have an on-premise Active Directory, and you say, well, hey, how does this guy who's on-premise get synchronized up to Windows Azure Active Directory? Well, more than likely, right, you've got probably a server, right, Windows server running here with your Active Directory. And the first thing I want to also clarify is you can run Active Directory in a VM, right? You can move this up to infrastructure as a service in Windows Azure and run that same thing that you have on-premise as a VM in Windows Azure. So some people refer to that as Active Directory running in Windows Azure. So it is kind of confusing. But just to be clear, running Active Directory on a VM in the infrastructure as a service in Windows Azure does not equal the same thing as Windows Azure Active Directory. So they're two different things, and hopefully that makes sense for you and the differences. But obviously, we're not talking at this point of how do you synchronize, right? How do you get those identities together? We'll get to that in a minute. But what I want to also bring up, and as you've seen just earlier, is that we have not only Windows Intune, but we have all kinds of other services authenticating and tying into Windows Azure Active Directory. So we've got Office 365, Dynamic CRM. You're going to start to see more and more momentum and more uses for Windows Azure Active Directory as we go. I want to also clarify on another point of the online IDs. When you first sign up for an account, you are going to have to use a onmicrosoft.com ID. Now, after you're all said and done, there's a way that you can make this onmicrosoft.com ID only really be utilized for your administrative accounts. Effectively, once you add your own domain names in, that's probably how most organizations are going to want to work, right? You probably aren't going to want to have people sign in with this long ID. So for all intents and purposes, you don't need to be overly concerned about what that name is that you use. It is important to remember what that is, because that is the global admin account, the first account that you sign up with that has certain capabilities that you need to do for any kind of synchronization throughout the course of the configuration that you're going to do. Okay. So, talking about the identity management options, right? You've got an on-premise AD and you have Windows Azure Active Directory. How do you synthesize, or how do you make things make sense between the two different databases of user accounts? First off, I want to clarify one thing. There's two different scenarios here. There's provisioning and synchronization. When we talk about provisioning, that is just putting a user account into an authentication scheme, right, or a database, right? That's getting the account there. What most people are going to want to do if they have an on-premise Active Directory is they're going to want to have some form of synchronization, meaning you want to have some consistency of the user IDs, passwords, between these two different databases of on-premise AD and Windows Azure Active Directory. When you do synchronize, you're going to be provisioning accounts, right? But if you provision accounts, you aren't necessarily going to be synchronizing those accounts. You may just manually create those. So this here goes into the different types of options that you have for provisioning those accounts. First off, there's a manual option. And with the manual option, you're going to be able to create objects in AD via the admin portal. As you've seen earlier, you can go in and use the portal, say add a new user account, and then that creates a user ID just in Windows Azure Active Directory, or bulk import, which I'm going to show you here in a little bit. Folks that want to do this are organizations that probably have no on-premise Active Directory, and you may want to use only Windows Azure AD to authenticate all your users inside your organization. Or we have, you know, some customers, they may want to have two different sets of IDs so that you can have those people who are maybe sales folks, or maybe they randomly use it, or there's different use cases for that. But that would be the manual option. For those of you who like to script, or you've got developers in your house that really want to automate custom directory stuff, you've got all kinds of different things going on there. We do provide APIs, the Graph API for that, and PowerShell commandlets, so you can provision users inside of Windows Azure Active Directory. And I would say most folks are probably not going to be using this option, but just so you know, it's there if you've got very unique or specialized circumstances. The last one, which is what most people are going to use, and there's a number of solutions inside this bucket, is automated, right? How are you going to automatically create and provision accounts and more than likely synchronize those with the on-premise directory, right? So we threw out a couple technologies, DirSync. Forefront Identity Manager is another big one. We won't really be talking about that much today, but Forefront Identity Manager is a great solution if you want to synchronize your accounts, have user account management. There's a lot of other things that come with FIM, even if you only have on-premise AD. Also, Forefront Identity Manager is good if you've got multiple forests. So if you're doing anything really complex, FIM is a good product to look at outside of the scope of today in this session. But we'll be digging into more of these automated methods here right now. So how does it work, right? So what are these are really three high-level buckets of choices that you have to make after you sign up for a cloud service account, Office 365 or Windows Intune, that you need to make. The first one, pretty simple, right? Cloud-only integration, or I'll just call it no integration. And in this case, what you're going to be doing is let's say you've got an on-premise AD, you've got joe@contoso.com, you'll go up there to the admin portal and or use the PowerShell or the Graph means that I mentioned earlier to provision that account. And that's as if, you know, the only synchronization or connection between the two is the fact that, you know it's Joe. You know that if you want to save the same domain name, contoso.com, up in your cloud, you can have the same user account, but it is a totally separate user account, right? So you could still have joe@contoso.com, but effectively it would be joe@contoso.com in two different places and two different passwords, two different, you know, scenarios there. So that's a pretty simple example, but that's really, you know, your first and most simple option. The next one starts to get a little more complicated. And with this one, what we're going to use is a product called DirSync, or it's really just a tool that you'll see, and we'll show a demo of this in a little bit. But what this is it synchronizes your on-premise AD up to the directory store. So you notice there, you saw the user account get moved over. Now, here's where it gets a little bit tricky. If you have signed up and registered and verified your domain name in the cloud, in the Windows Azure Active Directory console, which I'm also going to show you, and that is the same principal name, so let's say contoso.com, so joe@contoso.com. If you've registered contoso.com up in the portal and you do the synchronization, then Joe will show up as joe@contoso.com, and that will automatically be provisioned based on your on-premise AD. Now, by default, though, this still has that same somewhat of limitation of the first option, which is that here you've got a password, one, okay? And over here, when you do this, by default, you're going to have password two, because this is, even though it may have it be automated and synchronized, by default, the passwords are not going to synchronize with the DirSync tool. Right now, there is the ability for you to do a manual synchronization of just the passwords, or you can use a third party to do that, and that's definitely what I'd recommend, because otherwise what you're going to still have is the same scenario as you had before, kind of with the cloud only, in that you've got two user IDs, you've got two sets of passwords, two sets of credentials, effectively. I mean, yeah, the user remembers their username, but they still have to remember two different passwords and two different password policies, right? So that's the middle option here, the directory synchronization option. When we get to the most complicated, but also the most beneficial, we have directory synchronization combined with a federation, and inherently that gives you a single sign-on. How this works is we do the same thing in that we use directory synchronization. So you'll notice here that user gets synchronized over. But here is where things are different. You notice that trust popped up there. What happens here is that user, so let's say that user wants to log into a service, right? That service is then going to come and detect that the user's there. They're going to notice that user is a federated user. It's then going to go up back through the trust, authenticate back into your Active Directory Federation server, get that token for authentication. So this is where you need that some form of inbound SSL authentication back to an ADFS server or an ADFS proxy server. And then it will come back and then say, yep, that user is good to authenticate. But with that, right, the advantage of that is that there's a lot of different things, and we'll get into a comparison slide here. But you've got, right, one set of password policies. You've got one set of credentials. You manage it in one place, and, you know, everything else just kind of happens more naturally there. What are these downfalls? So I've kind of given you the options, the three different options here. So let's give a breakdown of when you would want to use one versus the other. The first is no integration. Right? Again, if you're a smaller organization, you have no on-premise AD, or you really just want to be a cloud-only organization, right? No integration is fine. There's nothing wrong with that, right? It works great, and you've got one identity, and that identity is only in the cloud. The benefit is that you don't need any servers. You don't need any setup. It's really easy. You just provision the users and you're good to go. The downfall is you don't get some of the bonus ads, right? You don't get the single sign-on if you have a corporate domain where you want them to log into your corporate domain account, and you want them to be able to automatically log in and authenticate. Your IDs are mastered in the cloud, and so you're really just managing two separate set of credentials. The directory only, this is a good option, I would say, if you decide to do the password sync. Because if you do the password sync, you still do not get the single sign-on, and you don't get the two-factor authentication, but what you do get is a consistent set of credentials that you can manage across those two machines. Now, the downfall of this, though, is that it's pretty tricky, pretty complex. We have heard the feedback from folks that they would like to see password synchronization happen more automatically, perhaps, let's say, with DirSync. But that's not something that we have out at this time. Now, if we go to the third option, right, we have the directory services and single sign-on with ADFS. This enables a lot of different scenarios, right? Two-factor authentication. If you want users to be able to sign in using a RSID or a, any smart card or certificate or anything else like that, you're pretty much going to need to go to a federated scenario. The other deal is if you have multiple forests and you have multiple domains outside of your own organization, right? So multiple forests, you really are going to probably need to go to a federated scenario, because it gets really complex as soon as you start going to multiple forests and integrating with Windows Azure Active Directory. There's a number of tools to help with that. Forefront Identity Manager is one of them, but there is that there. The other, go ahead.
I've got a quick question that's actually come up from Bill in the queue that is pertinent to this point. So he's saying for a small business with a single Windows server, can they add AD for that organization? Is there any additional cost to that with only a single server? So I know on the cost front, there's no additional cost to actually add the sync service, and ADFS a part of it. However, on the infrastructure side, there is a requirement.
Yeah, so, well, if you have a single server, right, and you don't have on-premise AD, well, then you would need to add the Windows Azure, or not Windows Azure, but you need to add the Active Directory role to that server.
Right, which so they have that. He's got a local AD.
So if you've got that, right, if you've got that, then really, I mean, there's no cost for DirSync or ADFS as long as you can run on that same server. As soon as you go to adding additional servers, now you need to pay for that, right? So with the, and we'll get into the breakdown of the federated as we get into the how-to and the number of servers you need and all that kind of thing, but that does require more infrastructure. So you more than likely, if you've got one server and you want to do a federated plus single sign-on, you're probably going to pay more, because you're going to more than likely need at least a couple more servers, depending on how many users you have and what kind of scalability you need. So there's an inherent cost in infrastructure, but there's not really an inherent licensing cost, right, for that. I mean, you just pay for the licenses that you pay for up in the cloud.
Right.
Okay. The other thing that I haven't talked about at all is location isolation, one of the pros there. So if, I have some customers who come at, who ask and say, well, what if I only want people to sign in to the Office 365, or I only want people to sign in to the Windows Intune when they're at specific places, or perhaps block the access to the service when they're in a place that is in countries where you can't have access. Well, in that case, you're going to need to do ADFS and this third scenario for that. So there's a lot of benefits to this, and really, when you look at some of the documentation that's online, you'll find that sometimes it says, hey, if you want to do directory and single sign-on or federation at some point, you should kind of decide that up front. Because when you go from the directory only to the directory and the single sign-on, there are some caveats. It gets tricky, and there's some things that you can mess up, right? That doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means it's tougher, and there are some things that can go poorly, right? So, really you want to make this decision, and hopefully we'll keep going through this, but by now hopefully you have a rough idea of what you'd want to target within your organization, of which of these three solutions you want to work towards. Okay. With that, we're going to move to cloud-only provisioning. We're going to dig into the how-to. So we just mentioned those three scenarios of provisioning, and we're going to dig into what does that look like practically, and how do you implement that. The first one is cloud-only provisioning, right, where you're just putting in users into the Windows Azure Active Directory manually or via the scripting methods. The first thing you're going to do is verify your domain. I'll show you that. And then you're going to export or import your list of users. So if you have an on-premise Active Directory, there's ways that you can export your users into a format that you'd have to slightly modify, and then take that file to import into your cloud service. And then finally, activating users. I'm not going to dig into the activating much. Rich is going to get more into all the implications of that. But for now, what I'd like to do is give you a quick demo of what that DirSync kind of process looks like, and the verification of the domain and the import of the users process look like. So I'm going to snap to that right now. So let me pull this up here. Okay.
You have to skip out of the presentation.
Oh. have to exit in slideshow. Okay. We're getting there. All right. There we are. Okay, so I've logged in to this Windows Intune account, and the first off, this is the base administrator portal. And when we first log in, when we look at our domains, this is where you would go to add a domain. Now, what I can do is click on Add. And when I specify domain, I can put in really honestly whatever I want here. So if I want to say I love windowsintune.com, or maybe like Richard is a intuneguru.com, or whatever I wanted to put in, I can click Next. And then what it has for me is this, hey, create a text record, right? There's a few different methods that you can choose here. You can do an MX or a text. I recommend text, just a little easier, a little more reliable for verification. But at wherever your public facing is, for in this case, I love windowsintune.com. Wherever your public DNS facing servers are, you would need to add in this record at the root, MS equals. And yes, you do have to put MS equals into that, and with that TTL of an hour. Once you do that, you can click on verify. And of course, I don't have I love windowsintune.com verified, but once you click on verify, then that domain name then becomes available inside of your domain. So if I click on, and if you click on cancel through this wizard, you can come back to it. There's no harm in that. But you'll notice here, there's I love windowsintune.com in this list. And, you know, that's what you would need in order to add users. Once you verify the domain, then what you can do is once you go to add users, if I go to create a new user, you would see in this drop-down list the other domains that you verified in the list to be able to add users with yourcompany.com or whatever whatever the domain name is that you own. But most of you probably, if you've got a larger organization, you probably don't want to have to, you know, create 50 users manually. And of course, we give you an option for that. So in this case, we have a bulk add. When we look at the bulk add, you notice there's some sample CSV template files. Now in this case, I've already downloaded this template using the base user. So if you look here, this is the template that downloads. It's just got some simple sample users here, five different sample users. And what you would need to do if you wanted to use the same template is change. All you need to do is change the domain name that you have here for this user, right? So contoso.com, when we look at this, I've updated that to be contosocf.onmicrosoft.com. But if this was iloveintune.com and that was verified, we just add that into that list. And when we go to import this, let me go down and do the Contoso CSV. Click on Next. Now, I intentionally made a typo in my file. And I wanted to bring that up because when you see this here, you see that users passed the verification and one was four. When you view the errors, you'll notice that the username is invalid. So you see here there's CF1. I put a 1 in there because I don't own that domain name, right? If I had ilovewindowsintune.com before it was verified, it would also give me a failure for that user. So that's verification and that's the manual import. So now I'm gonna snap back to my slides and we're gonna dig into the next scenario, which is the directory synchronization. Give me 1 second here. Okay. How's the questions coming there?
Yeah, we're getting through a fair few of them at the moment.
Okay, cool.
So one question here, do you need an SSL certificate to set this up?
No. Yeah, so you do not, so far, everything we've talked about so far, you do not need an SSL certificate. Now, when we get to federated, then that's a different story. And we'll talk about that as we dig into that scenario. But for just DirSync or just for cloud only, you need no certificates at all. Okay. So dir/sync, this is the overall process for the directory synchronization tool. And I'm going to show this in demo, so I'm not going to dig into all of these steps. But this is roughly the steps that you would run. We don't dig into the Office 365 deployment readiness tool here, but I will once we get into ADFS. And I think we're just going to go to a simulation now, which walks through the steps of configuring dir/sync. Now, the reason why I'm doing a simulation instead of a live demo is because dir/sync is a one-time process. So you know, me sitting here a lot, you don't want to wait for, you know, at least in my timing is like 2.5 to 3 minutes in an automated way, like when I have this script that I have. You know, you don't want to watch me waiting for the tool to install and all those things. So in the interest of time and the interest of the fact that it is a one-time operation, we're going to go show you a simulation of this process. Okay, so let me go to my desktop here once the synchronization all comes across. Okay, so here we are. This is my Windows Intune, and when we go into this console, what you'll see is we'll scroll down to underneath the domains. So we go under domains. Oh, sorry. You go to Active Directory Synchronization, Setup. When you scroll down, you need to activate Active Directory Synchronization. And this is more of a back-end process or scenario that happens to kind of tell the Windows Azure AD service to say, hey, I'm going to be waiting, I'm going to be preparing for somebody to synchronize with this database. You click Activate. Are you sure you want to activate it? Yes, I do. Now it's activated. And next.
So this is where real life diverges from the simulation for the sake of time.
Yep.
That activation process to actually get it to come through can take, on the quick side, sort of 10, 15 minutes. On the outset, I think it's several hours. So you do want to make sure you have that ready to go.
Yep. And then after that, then it's now downloading and installing the dir/sync tool or the directory synchronization tool. We click download on that. And after we download it, we're going to snap to the machine we're going to install dir/sync on. Now, again, dir/sync needs to be on not a domain controller, and it needs to be joined to the domain. So when we click on next, we're going to specify the online services global administrator account. Again, that's your onmicrosoft.com ID, probably the one that you had when you first signed up for your account. Click Next. Then we're going to put the enterprise administrator credentials. Now, the enterprise credentials for your domain are not going to be used for anything other than creating a synchronization account. And then that synchronization account will be used after that. Then you have the hybrid deployment. If you've got Exchange on-premise, you're going to want to enable this. And you know, digging into all the caveats of hybrid deployment are beyond kind of what we're covering in scope of this module, but that's what you need to configure with the dir/sync module there. You click Next and configure. Now this obviously is a lot quicker because it's a sim. This takes a few minutes to download and install. And then once you click Finish, it's going to synchronize the directory. Now this, if you want to synchronize the directory later, you would need to use a PowerShell command to go in and, you know, start online coexistence. I think if I looked at Richard's blog earlier, well, I have to admit that I did scroll through your latest post and I saw that you actually had the command to, you know, to synchronize that up via PowerShell. So there's a way to do that, and if you want to verify that, there's some event logs that say, hey, this has been synchronized. After that's done, right, when you go into this console, you'll see that these users here are synchronized up to the console. Now, if you have not registered your on-premise domain name, it's just going to default to the onmicrosoft.com. Like, if you haven't verified whatever your on-prem domain is, it'll show the same usernames, but put them in this format. Okay. With that, I think that's really the dir/sync process. It's not too extremely tough, but again, at just going through these steps, you're going to have two separate set of passwords, and you'd have to activate the users and then have them have a separate set of passwords for both of those different accounts. So we're going to go back to the third scenario now, which is the federation and the single sign-on. So let me go back to our slides and pull that up.
So while you're doing that, we've got a quick question here that it's talking about directory synchronization. Does it allow selective OU replication at this point?
Yes. Yes, that is. I have an appendix slide specifically on that one. I was prepared for that one. Mm-hmm. There is a way with the DirSync tool to limit the OU or specific counts. It's directory synchronization filtering. There's a link on that, a public article on how to do that. You cannot get down to the attribute level, so you can't say, I only want part of the attributes of a single account, but you can do the OU, you can do, you know, selective accounts within your directory.
Yep.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Yep. Let's see. So I want to get into, bring up the architecture side. I'm not going to explain all the other things that were already done, but I just want to point out this middle scenario here, the server's in blue. Now, there's a lot of different ways that you can do this, that you can architect the solution. In this case, we have, it looks like, four servers. You don't necessarily need four servers in order to make this all work. Technically, all you need to just make all the functionality work is a single ADFS server, that's in this case, a member server, that has DirSync on it. That one server and your on-premise Active Directory, if you publish from the outside, so if we publish, let's say we only had one server, if we published that authentication back into just this box, and we, let's say, didn't have that, then that would technically work. Now, the problem with that, though, is that if that goes down or if that breaks, now people can't sign in, right? And so you've created now this dependency with ADFS that you rely on, let's say, a single VM or a single box. So with that in mind, we have the scalability planning, right? And all of this really, it's kind of multiple factors. It hinges on a couple variables. One is how many users do you have? Because there's naturally going to be a traffic load associated with the amount of authentications and users that are coming into the environment, right? And in the less than 1,000 user department, We say you don't even necessarily need to add another server. We say just add ADFS to your existing DCs. I would say the caveat there is that you would need to have DirSync on a separate box, so it doesn't really highlight that out in that scenario. But as you can see here, there's a lot of different scenarios or ways to architect this, and it kind of depends on your environment, right?
Right.
So there's an article at the bottom there if you want to dig more into the high availability and scalability planning. But with that, I want to make sure I have some time to dig into the how and the how to go through all this process. Now, I will say that right now, if you go trying to search on how to do this, it's very scary. There's some documentation that's out there that says you need to hire consultants and, you know, you need to have a project plan and all these things. Now, if you've got multiple forests and you've got all kinds of crazy directories, well, yeah, that might be the case. But if you're in a single forest scenario, even with multiple domains inside of a single forest, it's actually not too bad. It's not too complex. And what I've done is I've created a process to automate this that I'm going to show you in a demo. But effectively, right, you're going to add the domain to Windows Azure AD. You're going to enable the directory synchronization. So that's that process that takes a while. You're going to install and configure the ADFS server itself. That includes DirSync on that server. And then you're going to, if you so desire, to have an ADFS proxy. Now, the reason why a lot of times we see a proxy is because that proxy is joined to a work group. It adds you an additional layer of protection, a security protection, because that is going to be your front-facing box. It's going to handle and offset some of the load to your core ADFS boxes. So there's a number of reasons why you might want to use a proxy, right? I put optional just because, I mean, like you saw in the earlier slide, just from the NLB guidance, there is no proxy servers in the less than 1,000 users. But it's really up to you, right? I mean, there's no reason why if you're less than 1,000, you might not have a proxy. You might. After that, you need to configure that inbound SSL access to either your proxy or to your ADFS server. And then after that, you're going to finish configuring the ADFS, the federation support and the domain, and then install and configure the DirSync tool. So again, this is important to know, you know, back to which scenario are you going to do. It's important to know, are you going to do DirSync? Or are you going to do federation? Because if you do federation, right, you need to wait to do that DirSync after you do all these federation steps. And there's some things in there that are going to be different. So with that, I'm going to go to a demo of walking through the quick start guide that I've configured, and this is new. A lot of you have never heard of this or never seen this, but it's going to be released very, very soon. And so what I'll be doing is walking you through a video of configuring an ADFS and DirSync server inside of your domain. So let's dig into that right now.
And I have to say, I did read through your guide last week, and very impressed. You've taken what really scared me in terms of a process and turned it into something that's very accessible. So I strongly recommend reading it. It takes a lot of the fear out of this and actually explains in nice, clear terms the steps you need to go through and automates a lot of them.
Yeah. I mean, where it used to be this, I need to hire a consultant. I wanted to get it to, let's do it in under an hour. Let's just get the whole thing done in under an hour. And as you'll see with my timing, even with just this ADFS server, we're gonna finish the ADFS server in about 15 minutes, the whole thing. So this is the guide that I've got a link to it in one of my slides. ITProGuy.com is the new blog that I have. I'll be posting as soon as it's publicly available. You bet I will be posting about it. This is something I've been working on for at least 6 months now because I was frustrated with the complexity. I was frustrated with the fact that we all need this, right? I mean, there's a huge need for this scenario. So the guide will come along with these steps. So when I go through this video here, this corresponds to this guide. So when you look at this guide, it has the different steps that are here. So this PowerShell command is not blind. You don't have to just download the PowerShell and just hope everything works. There's additional guidance here, but I'm going to kind of walk you through that as we get into this video. So the first step, you need a SCCM box. I'm sorry, not SCCM box. You need a Windows Server 2012 machine that is joined to the domain. That's it. That's your baseline. Okay, that's where we're at. And so this is going to be our ADFS server and DirSync server, right? Remember I mentioned early in the architecture that that's all we need to make all the functionality work inside of your domain. So here, we're joined to contoso.com, and one of the first things that we need to do is to turn off enhanced security configuration. And that's because this tool installs software. So the PowerShell command installs your prerequisite software. You need to make sure it's off for administrators and users. You could not turn it off, although the script will do it for you, and you'll have the Explorer close and then reopen on you. If you don't want that to happen, you should do that beforehand. This is the tool, right? So I scrolled up just so you can see the top of the tool. It gives you all these options, which are going to be walked through in the guide. The first thing you need to do is install the Microsoft Online Services sign-in assistant. So you'll see there, that was very fast. You might have missed it, but it already installed the sign-in assistant, and it is that fast. This is real time. Then we needed to install the PowerShell module. So let me pause here because this is going so fast. I kind of need to pause. So what just happened is we installed the prerequisite tools for the online services module for PowerShell, because that's what allows us to do this configuration using PowerShell and do some things, configure them up in the cloud. After that, we're going to then go into using the Office 360, downloading and installing the Microsoft Office 365 deployment readiness tool. And the reason that we're doing that is because you could have some issues inside of your Active Directory. Right now, you could have accounts that aren't going to synchronize. You could have a number of issues. This does a ton of different checks. And this, in my testing, it took about 4.5 minutes. So I'm sparing you from 4.5 minutes. But I am going to show you a little bit more of the guide here after it was done, just so you can get an idea of some of the types of things that are inside this guide. Right? You would definitely want to fix kind of your home base first before you go forward with this entire process and kind of fix it up front. Right? So it shows you here the number of accounts that are there, the number of trusts that you have inside the domain. It says, hey, you're not prepared for a hybrid deployment if you're thinking about doing that. It has a lot of different things. Now, some of these may or may not be really an issue. It says issue discovered, right? For instance, the hybrid deployment's not enabled. That's not really an issue, right, if you're not going to a hybrid deployment. It also says, hey, there's just groups without a display name, so those aren't going to synchronize. This gives you a lot of useful information before you go forward with the full process. Next up, we're going to add a local UPN suffix as domain in Windows Azure AD. This would be the same thing as equivalent of adding that domain in the console, right? When I had ilovewindowsintune.com, this is doing a similar thing, essentially the same thing, with the exception of that when we add this domain, we're going to add the domain as federated. And that's one big difference between the dirsync only and the federated mode. Behind the covers or under the covers, all right, there is this scenario of it's adding a federated domain instead of managed. You're not going to see that in the UI of Windows Intune at all. And so here I've added my custom domain name, christianborder.com, and it's not verified yet, but it's being added as federated, right? And so the reason why we did this up front is because, you know, it takes some time to add that public record and to be able to get that to be able to potentially be verified. So we add that up there. And then next, what we're going to do, I'm just showing you the option in the cloud as well, so you can see how it showed up inside the console. So you can see there, christianborder.com also popped up in the console using that PowerShell command, right? And like I said, there's nothing there that says that it's managed or federated. And in fact, you don't even have the MS ID there for the text record that you need to add. So next, we enabled dirsync. Remember earlier that was the thing we clicked on activate on the previous step. So far we're at first steps. We're at about 7 minutes because about I guess five and a half or so. It was 4.5 or 5.5 for the Office 365 readiness to run. Then next up we're going to be configuring or adding the ADFS role to the server. One of the nice things about the script is that it goes ahead and just adds any PowerShell commands or any .NET frameworks or any things that you need to do automatically in the background. So you don't really have to worry about that. But effectively right now, if you were to do this via GUI, it would just be going to the server manager, adding the role for ADFS. Next, we are creating a service account for ADFS use. If you were to go through the wizard with the manual creation of the ADFS service, you would have to create a service account. So we're just allowing you to create that automatically. So the service account is created. And now we're creating an internal DNS entry for the farm name, because that's also another thing that you need to have done. So that's finished. And then next up, and this is SSL certificate. So here's where I should pause, okay? Because the question was brought up earlier, well, do we need to have a certificate or not? If you want this in production, you definitely need a certificate. Now, in my case, what I've done in my own personal one that I use, I bought a $9 SSL certificate. It was $9. Obviously, not very high quality. It's the lowest bar that you can possibly find. But yeah, that was what I did, and I used that with ADFS, and that worked. Right now, can you get away using this private certificate, which it does create by default? Well, sure. If you're in a demo, if you're in a test environment, you can use the automatically created self-signed certificate, and things will work, assuming you add that certificate to whatever clients that you want to authenticate, right? So ADFS, will still work. You'll still be able to authenticate, but there'll be some warnings, right, in regards to, hey, this certificate's not working, or you'd have to add that certificate to your trusted authority list. There's more to that in the documentation about this. If you're going to import your own certificate here, which we allow that, you just need to make sure the friendly name is specified with the 80 to 80 quick start name, and then that way this PowerShell command will pick up that certificate and say, oh, it's already there, and your public certificate will be used for configuration. The goal of this script was that not only is it just quick for demo environments, but that it is a solid foundation for if you want to move towards production. So you go through all this effort here, you're set up to, you know, you have a farm, a single server farm, you have a proxy, a single server proxy, which you can add to a proxy farm. You kind of got a great foundation there to move forward, right? So you see there's the two certificates that it automatically created. It'll by default just put that wherever it is on your desktop or wherever you're running the menu or the PowerShell script from. And then next up, we are configuring ADFS. It remembered our credentials for the service we had earlier, and it goes through this whole process. This was about 30 seconds for me. So for you to go through the wizard, even clicking through it in that amount of time is is not very likely. So this is all using PowerShell of configuring the ADFS rule, and that's done. Finally, we're going to make sure that you have the 443 port opened. Even if you're using a proxy, you're still going to need to have that 443 port open for authentication with ADFS. And then finally, we are going to launch the test web pages. So these test web pages are just verifying that all the steps you've done up to this point are working and that ADFS is functional. So there's three different sites. All that goop that's there on the page is a good thing. You don't need to understand that, but the fact that all that comes up means that it's working. And if you want to do a test, you know, you can sign in there with your credentials of a domain. So far, right, the part one of the ADFS servers configured, just to kind of pause on this, we have about 10 and a half minutes. We've installed ADFS, configured ADFS, got all the ports opened up, got everything configured up in the cloud, and now we're going to move to the second half, which is kind of finishing up that configuration. At this point, if you wanted a proxy, you could go through those 15 through 21 steps. But in this case, I'm just going to skip that and go to step 22 to configure the rest of the ADFS server. So here we verified our record. You see there, you can specify your own DNS server or it can use the default, and we've verified our record. And then if there are problems there, it will let you know that the record's not available. We then configure our connection up to for ADFS. That's kind of doing the final verification of the domains and the final steps of the ADFS config. And at this point, we're really, you know, we're on step 24. We are done with the ADFS configuration, but now we're creating a single sign-on user just to make sure that's going to work for our steps up to this point. And that goes and creates a user using your domain name up in Windows Azure Active Directory for you to test with. And then now we're at the point finally where we get into DirSync. And with DirSync, you know, we have the tool to automatically download it and install it. This does take a while. It's probably the second longest step after the Office 365 configuration. And in this case, we're at least in my test I had the other day, it was like 2.5 minutes or so to download, install, and do all that. You do need to sign out here. So I've effectively signed out and signed back in because there are new credentials that you're going to use to configure the service, and that is necessary. So I've signed out, signed back in, and now we're going to go ahead through the configuration. The permanent sync credentials, this is something you're going to add another global administrator account using your onmicrosoft.com account, because this is what DirSync will use to synchronize. So you do want to have a separate account for that. And now this is going to use your local Active Directory administrator account. And all that's going to be doing is configuring that service that is used for the DirSync tool. So resets that MSOLAD account is the... was the account it uses for DirSync, and we ran it was really quick there, but we ran the verification to make sure DirSync has happened, and as you can see here, the export has completed, and the directory has been synchronized. So, a lot there. We've got, I guess, about a minute left, but we have effectively configured an ADFS server from scratch, right, on Windows Server 2012, and configured DirSync. You've got, at this point, you've got full federation and SSO, assuming you've opened up your firewall ports externally to go into that box. Everything should be working at that point. But you may want to add that proxy, and of course, you don't want to do this in production. Again, I'll state that again, because that one box goes down, your users are not going to be able to log in. But nonetheless... this makes life a lot easier. And even I will say that one other thing I wanted to point out is, even if you do not have that external port open, maybe you've got that firewall guy that is being a stickler. He's like, oh, I don't want to open up SSL to some 80 box, perhaps. Well, even inside the clients that are inside and are domain joined, those clients would still be able to have the single sign-on and that federation into the cloud server. So they don't even have to type a password, sign into the Office 365 or Windows Intune portal. So that's a lot there. I know we're kind of out of time.
I mean, we've had a lot of questions coming up on the thread here, wanting to know about the documentation, when it's going to be available, where should they look out for an announcement?
Well, just keep checking back at my blog. I have been trying to push on a bit. It's engineering right now that's holding me back. So, I mean, it's done. That's that's it's coming. I don't know. I wish it was here a month ago.
So you're going to tweet it out on your Twitter account?
I'll tweet it out on my Twitter account. I'll have a blog post on it.
I've got to work on saying that. I can't say it's Twitter, is it?
Yeah, I'm going to tweet it.
Twitter.
On my Twitter account for a tweet, you know. So that is a wrap, and I'll, you know, over the lunch or, you know, maybe this break, I'll try and answer some additional questions because I know we were kind of compressed on time for this.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's the end. That's a wrap for AD to Windows Azure Active Directory.
So we're going to take a 10-minute break here, and then we'll come back with the next couple of modules before lunch. So join us then.